Welcome to Straight Talk with Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. One of the things that is going on right now amongst the network of His Holy Church is that people are coming to the retreats, the fall retreats. We have one here in Summer Lake, Oregon, and people already were showing up last night and setting up tents and coming in their RVs and getting ready for a little fellowship. We have another one next week here and in Missouri. And as the network grows, we hope to have them all over the place. And they are great opportunities for people to meet other people and begin to network. Now, there has been a problem from the beginning where people want to belong to something, a group, a organization, a flock, a herd, a party of people that gives them a sense of belonging. Well, we don't mind facilitating that to some degree, but really what we want you to belong to is God. We don't want you to belong to another religion or another group or another ideology or philosophy. We want you to belong to God. We want you to do the will of God. And we want you to struggle and strive and pray and seek to know that will and do that will. That's our motivation. If we want you to listen to us and do what we say rather than listen to the Holy Spirit in your own hearts, we've got a problem. And we need to do something about it, which would be, of course, to repent. It is interesting that Jesus was talking to Peter and had asked everybody, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?" And that was a really important question. It wasn't the first thing that Jesus talked about. It wasn't the primary thing that Jesus talked about. But it is something that he had to get around to eventually. And he needed to have an answer. The answer is not so important as the truth about where you got that answer from. Because all the apostles were coming up with different answers. John, some say you are this and some say you are that. You know, that's kind of a non-committal response to the question, you know. But who do you say I am is the question, not what other people say. You know, what do you believe? What do you think? And of course, Peter finally comes up with an answer, and I'll let you go look that up in John 16. But Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Now, why did he say that? Because he got the right answer? Because he said the right words? No. Because I could tell you the words, and then you could repeat them back, and you would say the right words, but you wouldn't be blessed yet. Because you got those words from me. If you get them from another preacher, if you read them in the Bible because a preacher pointed them out or because you stumbled across them, that's great. But that's not what blessed Simon Bar-Jonah. What blessed Simon Bar-Jonah was that flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he knew who Jesus was by the divine revelation of the Holy Spirit writing the truth upon his heart and upon his mind. And he acted upon that, and he spoke based on that inner knowing. And that's what made him blessed. We got people everywhere creating religions, creating philosophies, writing books, saying, "Believe because I say it so. Believe because it's written in the Bible. Believe because I said it's written in the Bible." You know, I don't care. None of that is what makes you blessed. None of that is what would make Peter blessed. And a lot of people just can't grasp that. They say, "Well, because I need to know, I need to study, I need to learn. Because it's me. It's my knowledge of good and evil that will save me." No, it's not. It's the divine inspiration of God writing upon your heart and your mind. That's when you start walking with God. That's when you are back in paradise. How do you get there? You start conforming to Christ. Start conforming to what he said. Start listening to what he wrote and spoke about. But eventually, it's not about what you do. It's about what Christ does in you. Now, there's a lot of artificial belief in Christ out there. There's a lot of false belief in Christ out there. Because people hold up and draw a picture of Christ and say, this is Christ. This is who he is. This is what he looks like. This is what he said. This is what he said was important. That's them telling you about Christ. The only one that can have you know about Christ is Christ himself. And they often surround their preaching with a great deal of emotionalism, excitement. This emotionalism is flesh and blood. This excitement, this ecstatic singing and powerful speaking and preaching, that's flesh and blood. The Spirit is a still small voice that comes and gently writes upon your heart and upon your mind. That's where you will really find faith. That's where you will really find belief. And you will not need that faith constantly recharged up by going back to the same people that got you charged up to begin with and getting recharged. If that is the case, you're plugged into those people. And those people are flesh and blood. And you're being charged up again by flesh and blood, by emotionalism, by excitement, by thrills and singing and gyrations and getting into the mood. And you're not much different than the jungle drums of Africa that get people all worked up. You say, oh no, but I'm doing it for Jesus. No, you're doing it for the image of Jesus you have created or someone else has created in your own mind. If you're plugged into Jesus, you don't go to other people to get charged up. Now, you may go to other people to help them with their unbelief. You may go to other people to bless them with kindness, to give them an ensample of what Christianity is really all about. You may go to other people to rebuke them, to show them the character of Christ, who came to rebuke us. You know, this is the bad servant, this is the good servant. He's telling you what the bad servant looks like, and it looked like most of what they were doing. Corbin is of the Pharisees makes the word of God to none effect. That's a rebuke. All the rebukes didn't start with woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. That was getting really direct, but he was rebuking them left and right with his teachings. The problem is your modern ministers are not correlating those teachings of Jesus Christ with what most Christians, the vast majority of Christians, are doing wrong daily. They're going up to him saying, you're saved because you've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. But that's not what Jesus said. Because he put down qualifications. Are you a forgiving? You know, I mean, it's so clear. They come to him and they say, what must I do to obtain eternal life? He didn't say, believe on me. Although that may be true from a certain point of view, but he said, you know the commandments, keep them. But the fact is, if you believe in the real Jesus, you will love the real Jesus. If your belief is, you know, the devil believes that Jesus is Jesus. He just doesn't do what Jesus says because he doesn't love Jesus. He doesn't love what Jesus says. He doesn't love the name of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the ways of Jesus. He loves himself. He loves his own ideology. He loves his own way. He loves his own knowledge. He loves his own emotions. And he looks around for other devils like himself who will support him in that emotional love of self and excitement of self. Since he can't excite himself all the time, he actually gets in with other guys that will excite him too. But that's demonic. Can be very subtly demonic, but it's demonic. And it's controlling his thinking. And it's controlling his mind, and it's controlling his heart. And he will betray and turn his back on those that truly love him for others who love themselves and cannot face the truth and will run and flee from the truth when the truth just stands there, doesn't even say a thing. You need to understand that it is not flesh and blood that reveals who Christ really is. You cannot read the Bible and know who Jesus Christ is without the Spirit of God awakening you to the truth. It won't be all the teachers who tell you what to believe that will guide you to Christ. Even I can't do that. I shouldn't say even I mean, nobody can do that. The only one that can bring you to God is God. He draweth you. Not other men. You know, we can interact and hope and pray and try to help and encourage one another when we lack faith. You see, all this need for this emotional faith is because we lack real faith. And we need to be charged up in our faith because our faith is dependent upon flesh instead of dependent upon spirit. When you're dependent upon spirit, the spirit charges you up. Christ, he didn't go to a crowd when he wanted to pray. He went alone. He separated himself out. Went off a distance. Why? Because he wasn't going to pray to each other. He was going to pray to God. He doesn't need a big crowd around to pray. As a matter of fact, a big crowd can be a distraction. Doesn't mean you don't gather together. But if you're going to gather together in his name, you're not going to gather together to charge up one another. You're going to gather together to be of assistance, and an assistance that does not weaken the faith of others, but strengthens it. In other words, you may be training wheels for the new Christians for a little while, but eventually you've got to take those training wheels off. And they're never going to learn to ride the bike. They're going to have to make their choices on their own. And, you know, we've had some people from with an Amish background. They weren't raised Amish originally, but they lived with the Amish for many years in several different groups. And I was just amazed at some of the stories he was telling, how you got one Amish group where you can have a 2-inch brim on your hat, and another Amish group where, no, you have to have a 3-inch brim on your hat. Another Amish group, you have suspenders. Some have suspenders with elastic. Some can only have one suspender. And if you're in those groups, you have to do it that way. And a lot of them have big beards, and some of them shave part of the beard, and that's part of their group's determination as how you will put your beard, how you will wear your suspenders, how big your brim is. That, in the Bible, it talks about not trimming the corners of your beard. And so they say, oh, well, we can't trim it because it says not to trim. The rule to not trim the corner of your beard is about gang colors. It's about denominationalism. It's about division. We're separate because we don't trim our beard. We're separate because we do trim our beard. We're separate because we have this kind of suspender. We're separate because we have this brim on our hat. Where's the weightier matters in all these rules? And the reality is, now that's extreme. A lot of people can say, oh, well, that's ridiculous, because your church doesn't require suspenders. What does your church require? That you profess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, or that you profess that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ on such and such a day. And so you repeat those words. That is no different than what the Pharisees required, is that when you pray, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, not those who say the phrase that I'm looking for, not those who say the words that I say are the most important words, but those who actually doeth the will of the Father. That's what he said was important. Not what you say, but what you do. And because of the hypocrisy of this denominational religion, this divisionary trimming the corners of your philosophy, beard, whatever, that has divided Christianity into something that where you can't even find a Christian doing what Christ said. That is of the devil. Divide and conquer. Most churches today have more in common with the Pharisees in the ways of the devil than they have in the ways of Christ, even though they profess Lord, Lord, with their mouth. They profess Jesus Christ is God with their mouth. They profess that they were saved by the blood of Jesus. They were not. They are liars. But sometimes they're liars because they've been deceived. Sometimes they're liars because they're under a strong delusion. Shall I add to that delusion? Shall I condone that delusion? Shall I permit that delusion? No. I will rebuke it. I will not be a part of that delusion. I will not reveal to you, because I don't have the power to reveal to you God. I will talk and give witness to what has been revealed to me, but you must have God revealed to you by spirit, not by flesh and blood, not by clever sayings, not by emotional clamorings. That is not going to bring you closer to God. That is going to bring you closer to the brink of destruction. So I've kind of covered everything for the next show on Liberty Radio Live. I don't know. Actually, I've got a lot of notes that I will go over, a lot of things that were said on the network. This is supposed to be just kind of a warm-up call for us here at HHC. We need to, if we really love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, we will try to create networks and create the congregations to get the word out, to get it broadcast to thousands, even millions of people. We need to be putting that together so that people can hear the real gospel of the kingdom as Christ said it, as Christ taught it, as Christ spoke about it. What those parables had to do with every aspect of our lives. We've all returned to the bondage of Egypt. We've all gone far away from what the early church was doing. Far, far, absolutely the opposite of what they were doing. We do more like the Pharisees because we have no real king but the governments that we serve. We serve those governments and must serve those governments and must give unto those governments because we have prayed to those governments and asked for benefits, even though we knew that they were providing those benefits at the expense of our neighbor. And through covetousness, we have been made human resources, merchandise, and we have become entangled again in the bondage and the elements of the world, which Christ said we were not to be of. But we, the very people that have brought us to this, the very people that have seduced us while we were brought more and more into the slavery, say all you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what they say. All you have to do, you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus now. But in reality, they are workers of iniquity. They say the words, but they are whited sepulchers. They are the Pharisees of today. Because they have put the emphasis on what you say rather than what you do. They even go as far as to say, oh, you don't have to do anything but believe. You're not saved by works. You don't have to worry about works. Oh, the law is done away with. Jesus says in order to have eternal life, you must keep the commandments. Oh, but the law is done away with. Same people. saying this. And then when you try to talk about the fact that they violate the Ten Commandments every day by making covenants with them and their gods, they say, oh, well, that doesn't have anything. It's our faith in Jesus that's key. So you just go back to sleep and be safe and comfortable in your bondage until the day of destruction. And when you cry out, folks, the Lord will not hear those people who said they accepted the blood of Jesus Christ and said, Lord, Lord, and prayed great prayers in their churches, because they are workers of iniquity. They have brought their brothers into bondage. They have made their neighbors their slaves. They have forced their neighbor to contribute to everything from health care to free education. They have elected Sauls every 4 years, every 2 years, every chance there's a voter day, they go down and elect a new Saul to exercise authority over them, which was a rejection of God. But, they believe in the blood of Jesus. Oh, they love Jesus. They get all excited about their love for Jesus, but they are not doers of the word. They are not doers of the will of God. They got the words, but they are clanking cymbals, making noise. They are not, it is not revealed of them the Spirit. Oh, they have the Spirit in them. It's a very exciting Spirit, a very comforting Spirit at times. But it's leading them to destruction, because they are not the faithful. Oh, they will do great signs and wonders. They will even heal people. And they will boast about it. You know, when Christ first started healing people, he said, don't tell anybody I did this. Don't even tell anybody. Of course, some of them did anyway. But Jesus was not boasting of that, because he knew that you needed to believe because you really love God and God's ways. God's ways do not lead nations into bondage. God's ways do not make slaves of men, so that you don't have to pay anything for your child's education or for your health care or be able to receive pay for not working. If you don't work, you don't eat in the kingdom. All these things that have come about in the world today are of the world, and the religions that preach Christ are mostly of the world and not of Christ. And they do not know Christ, and they do not believe in Jesus Christ, and they are not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are under a very, very strong delusion. And we need to do a lot, and I mean a lot, of repenting. And yes, some of these groups and churches and religions have saved us from a terrible lifestyle of maybe drugs and alcoholism and what have you. But they are not really of Christ. You know, the Pharisees helped lots of people. They had a whole system of social welfare. They had systems that were compelling people to contribute, but they also had their synagogues where you could go down and contribute extra and share extra and help other people. They had hospitals. They had a free bread giveaway. They also depended somewhat heavily on the free bread giveaway of Rome. But they got special exemption, so that the free bread giveaways of Rome fell on a Jewish holiday. Caesar Augustus made it a rule that they could come on another day if they were Jewish, so they didn't have to come on that day. But the free bread, the welfare, the unemployment, the food stamps offered by Rome was coming from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, and true followers of Christ would not touch and eat of that table. They set at the table of the Lord. We are not setting, the churches are not setting the table of the Lord. Actually, we are trying to set the table of the Lord. In order to do that, you have to show up. You are not a part of His holy church because you're on an email group. The email group is a tool by which you can find other people and come together. Is that what you're doing? Are you seeking others? Are you helping us seek others for you? We're the servants of Christ, and we serve Christ by preaching the gospel and finding the lost sheep and trying to bring those lost sheep together. We need your help to do that. We need your assistance to do that. How you assist, how you help, that's between you and God. I'm not going to tell you you have to send money. I'm not going to tell you you have to do this, that, or the other thing. But you have to do something, because you have to be a doer of the word. And the word is go and preach the kingdom of God. If you're not a good speaker, then pay somebody who is a good speaker. Someone, and I think it was in Carolina, said that I'm not a powerful speaker. I thought I was. But he said I had a powerful message. Maybe my ability to speak was simply overpowered by the message that I had. I could feel a twinge of humility sneaking up on me when he said that. But I overcame it. Or was it a twinge of pride, and I overcame that? And I'm being humorous here. But the fact is we have to turn around. We have to do this different. You know, the fact is that we have to start working together for what Christ said and not what other men told us what Christ said. And that's an individual choice. This is an individual journey, and you have to decide whether you want to walk with us or not. But I'm not going to play the religion game. I'm not going to play the denominational game. I'm not going to say you have to say this and you have to say that. I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said you have to do. I'm just repeating Him. If that's what you want to hear is what He had to say, I am just shocked at how often we tell people quotes that they never heard in their churches. Just amazing. Why is that? I got a couple of those quotes, and we'll talk about that on LibertyRadioLive.com right after this show. God bless.